Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can come here to worship you and study your word, and just help us to know what we should be doing. And we just pray, dear Father, for Brother Phillips as he needs your help, and we pray that you'll be with him and help heal him. And we just pray, dear Father, for each one in this class. We pray that we might learn things that we should be learning. And we pray that that you'll give us your grace. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Verse 12 is where we are. Genesis 35 and verse 12. Anyone have their Amplified Bible with them tonight? You got your. Oh, all right. I forgot to bring mine up here.
Do you need to find it?
Well, no, not right now. 35 and verse 12. Weeth, Haaretz, Asher, Natati, Li Avraham, Yule Yitchik, Lika, Etinenna, Yule Zaraka, Asharika, Etan, Et Haaretz. See if this goes on further. No, I see it. And the land which I have given, look at that word, I have given. This is all prophetic for the future. They had never received any of this land yet. Let's get back to where we are. We have God talking to Jacob. And he's telling him he's going to give him all the land and all of his descendants and everything. But he speaks of it as if it's already happened. It's already completed. Because God looks at things right here. That's when it's going to happen. Right there. All of this. They were going to come into the land later on, of course, right over here, out of the Egyptian bondage, and they were going to the land, but they're not going to get to keep the land. They're going to go into the land, and then they're going to be run off again because they've been bad boys and bad girls. And here, though, in the Revelation, after the tribulation period, over there into the 1,000-year reign of Christ, they will be acting like good boys and girls for 1,000 years, like they should have all the time. Okay? Like they should have all the time. The land of which I have given to Abraham and to Isaac. Now, he gave it to all of them. Did any of them ever have it? Nothing. They lived on promises. Today, we live on promises. You don't have eternal life right now. You're dying, like I'm dying. You know, I'm literally dying. You know, they're giving me short timer. Anyway, well, so what? But we don't have eternal life right now, but we do have eternal life. Because we have a guarantee that when we leave and we breathe our last on this land, that we're in eternity. We're there in eternity. And we have bodies not like these. They take these bodies and they make put them in a safety deposit box called a coffin or a hope chest, whatever you want to call it, and the Lord's going to resurrect them up one of these days. But we have a guarantee, but it is all in the spirit world. In the spirit world. All in the spirit world. It's the promises of the Spirit that we believe. Okay? To Abraham and to Isaac. Abraham means what? Exalted father of many, or of a multitude. And Yitzchak, what does Yitzchak mean? Yitzchak, or Isaac?
Laughter, kind of laughter, joy.
It means extreme elation. Just you're elated, kissing, loving, spontaneous, great excitement. That's what Isaac means. Like laughter. It's like the first kiss and laughter and all this kind of stuff. This is what that word means, Yitzchak. Alright? And to you, Lika, to you, I shall keep on giving her. He's talking about the lamp. I shall keep on giving her. It's a first person construct, singular. Suffix is third person feminine, singular. See that? And it's in perfect tense. I shall keep on giving this land to all your descendants. My promise is going to be good for every one of them, over and over and over, for many, many, many generations. And just look and see how many generations these people lived in tents. They didn't have the land. They still don't have the land. They bought some of it over there. They fought for it. They've done all kinds of stuff over there in the Middle East right now. But they don't have all the land. One of these days, they're going to own all that land, all the way from the Euphrates to the Egypt. It's going to be all theirs. Actually, it's going to be the whole earth's going to be theirs. But they don't have it yet. But they have the promise by God. God made the promise. And to your sowing, is what it literally says. You left Zaraka. Zerah there, that's the sow. That's seed, to your seed. I shall keep on giving her the land to you and to your seed after you, and I shall keep on giving the land. All right, the promises are going to be kept up, and the land is going to be kept up. The promises and the land. Wayal. Mi alo. Elohim. You guys are talking really good Hebrew. Ba makom. Asher. Deber. Yito. This morning I got up here, we were talking about the Lord's Supper, and I read the words in Hebrew that Jesus, how he blessed the bread and how he blessed the wine. And the class was kind of happy about that. We were talking about Matthew, the 26th chapter. We talked about Mary making the great sacrifice, the financial sacrifice, when she gave her burial perfume and put it on Jesus, and then Judas griping about that, and we talked about Judas and how that he was the only disciple in the Old Testament was prophesied that Jesus would have. He was the only one in the Old Testament. We talked about all these things this morning. Promises, and she spent 300 days' wages on that perfume that she put on his feet, or on his head, that is. 300 days' wages, a year's wages. Very costly. But at what cost did Judas sell out Jesus? His eternal soul. Eternity is a long time. These promises here go for eternity. Your eternal life is eternal. He's in eternal damnation. We talked this morning about sinning your day of grace away. Sinning your day of grace away. Sinning it away. He did. He sends his day of grace away. There was no more room for repentance after what he did. No more room. It's all over with. And went up and kept up going from him, Elohim, in the place where he had spoken with him. He had spoken there. That word, look at that word, he had spoken. It's third person masculine, singular there, PL, perfect. God spoke, it was powerful, wasn't it? Tremendously powerful. God had spoken with him. All right, now here's where God is speaking face to face with Jacob. All right, face to face with Jacob. 34:14 now, 34:14. Wayat says, Yaakov, Matsiba, Ba Makom, Asher, Diver, Eto, Matsivet, Avin, Wayashek, Aliha, Nisek, Wayitchek, Wayitsag. Aliha, Shaman. All right. And he established for himself, Jacob, a memorial. And he established for himself, Jacob, a memorial. Now, that word established there, that means cause to stand. And he calls to stand forever. While consecutive and perfect, he continued to take care of this monument here. He continued to take care of this monument. Perpetual care, so to speak. All right? Now, they say in a cemetery when they bury you and you bury people, they are going to do perpetual care for it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. They've already removed that cemetery if they take a notion. But the Lord takes perpetual care of your soul, I can guarantee you. Period. Period. All right. And he established with perpetual care Jacob and memorial pillar, a monument, 663. That's where that comes from, Brown Driver and Bricks. In place. In place. See that? Bam Makom. Bam Makom. Bam is in and Makom is the place. Ba there is a preposition, page 88, that bait on the front of it. Ba Makom where? Asher, particle of relation. And here it's kind of an adverbial particle of relation. That Asher covers a lot of ground. And the Ber, which he had spoken, with him, a memorial monument of stone, aven, of stone. And he poured out it upon him a nesek, nesek. Nesek means a drink offering. This root goes into a lot of different things. Sometimes the pagans would take and melt molten brass or lead or silver or gold, and they would pour it out and into what the same word, but they would make an idol out of it. All right, an idol out of it. Now, he's making a drink offering to the Lord, pouring out a drink offering. In other words, he's saying, I won't drink this. This is for you. I am sacrificing this for you, as Mary did when we talked about when she put the 300 days, whole year's wages on Jesus' head. This was a sacrificial offering. Now, when the Eskimos, Indians and Eskimos, all American Indians, when they killed an animal, they didn't conquer that animal. I want to tell you this. It wasn't something you conquered. When you went deer hunting and you got a deer, you killed the deer, and then you went and you apologized to deer for taking the deer's life. Every time you ate a piece of that deer, you say, thank you, Father, for the animal that gave this brother, that gave his life for me. You keep on respecting the animal until he's all gone. You take and you kill the animal, and you take his heart and you bury it in the ground where you killed him. The Eskimos, when they kill every seal that they kill, the Eskimos, they'll take snow and put it in their mouth, and they'll melt that snow, and they will put it in his mouth. They'll kiss the seal and put water in his mouth, saying, thank you, brother, for giving your life to me. It's not a conquering thing. It's not, oh, look at here, I got all these trophies. That wasn't it. Well, a life is exchanged. A life is exchanged. One life for another. A life is exchanged. A libation. A drink offering. And he poured out and kept on pouring out upon it oil. All right, krail. In Greek, that's krail. This is where you get the word Hamashiach. This is Messiah, anointed one. One anointed or one picked out. It's Christos in the New Testament, which comes from krail, which means anointed one, one that was anointed. Remember when Samuel anointed David as king? He also anointed Saul, didn't he? But then he anointed David and said, Saul, you're done for. I mean, it's over with. You sinned. And you sinned away your kingship. You're no longer a king, nor will your children be kings. This is a really funny thing here about, you know, God has got plans long before we think about it. Man always tries to outthink God. And I got sick with this stuff. I had enough problems already. I've got lots of problems, more problems than that. But like that doctor was saying. And I said, well, I'll just say this one thing. I said, God must have thought it was all right for this to happen. It must have been best. It must have been the best thing to happen. That's all I can say. That must be what God wanted to happen, or it wouldn't happen. God is in control. God is in control. Always. The nation of Israel wanted a king, like all the rest of the nations, didn't they? Like all the rest of the nations. Did God plan to have a king for Israel?
No.
Yes, he did.
Oh,
that's right. He always had. He planned, but David was the king. They were in a hurry. He was going to give them a king. He was going to give them a king. That king was going to be a type of the real king to come. But they said, we want a king like all the rest of the nations. Now. And so he gave them one that was a very bashful man in the beginning. That was Saul. He hid among the stuff, it says in King James. He hid among the stuff when they went after him. And then he became very proud and arrogant. And his name was Asked For. Do you ask for it? I'll give you a man named Asked For. Okay, and that's what his name meant, Asked For. That's the same word that for Sheol, which means the place asked about. Hell, Sheol, the place of the departed spirits. The place asked about. God was going to give them a king. But they were in a hurry. So all they got was trouble. They got trouble that went on for a long, long time. Yes, David. But David wasn't old enough to be king yet. So he gave him Saul. And later on, he anointed David. Because, you go all the way back now. All the way back. He was going to be of the lineage. You go all the way back to Ruth the Moabitess and all the way through there. Rahab the harlot. It's that line is coming all the way down, all the way up. And yes, Israel was going to have a king through that scarlet thread that we see through the Bible, that thread of faith and that thread of the bloodline that they were going to have that would come to the Messiah. Yes, Israel was going to have a king, but they were in a hurry. They didn't wait for God. They did not wait. All right. Why you cross? Yaakov, Et, Shem, Hamathom, Asher, Deber, Etol, Sham, Elohim, Bethel. And he kept on calling Jacob the name Et. See that sign of the direct object right there, page 84. Et. The name, Shem. All right, the word name means a monument or renown. What name made this place famous was the monument that was there, and what really made it famous was the God who spoke to Jacob there at that place, where he had spoken with him, the name of the place, Hamakom. See that definite article in front of that, Hamakom? Makom is a word, place, and Ha is the place, Hamakom. Asher, where he had spoken with him there, Elohim. This is the Godhead. Alright? This is the Godhead. And then it says Bethel. Bethel. Beth-El. Beth means what? House. F-L means what? God. The house of God. Bethel. The house of God. Wayesu. Med-Bethel. Wahi. Od, Kibroth, Haaretz, Leval, Ephrath, Wateled, Rachel, Watikash, Bilita. And they kept on journeying. They kept on journeying. Look at that word. Third person, masculine, plural, while consecutive and perfect. They kept on journeying. Now you can look up a word at 652 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs or 704 in Kohler and Baumgartner. That's for the roots. And then from, here we have a preposition again, little 580, that comes from men, from Bethel, met Bethel, from Bethel, from the house of God. He called this place the house of God. This must be where God lives. Okay, God's house. And he became, or kept on becoming, still, a distance, Kibroth, a distance, the land, to come. He's still a distance from Ephrath. Ephrath means fertility. Fertility. Ephrath means fertility. And she delivered or birthed there Rachel. Rachel. What does Rachel mean? Remember what Rachel means? Ewe lamb. All right. I sure missed you last week. Oh. You always got my answer, I'll tell you. Got a good mind. Rachel. And she kept on finding difficulty. She kept on finding difficulty extremely. Now, that's PL stem. See that? Third person feminine singular PL, wow, consecutive and perfect. She kept on finding difficulty. Watikash. In her birthing or delivering. In her birthing or delivering. See that preposition in the front of it? That faith, that means in. In her birthing or delivering. Cal infinity construct. Oh, she had a hard time. Had a hard time. What a beautiful girl. What a beautiful girl. And her handmaid, her sister, and the other handmaid all had children before she had her first child. And her husband was desperately in love with her, Jacob. He only wanted one woman, and that was Rachel. That was the woman of his love. That's the woman that his heart would sing with and that his whole spirit would soar with. This is the one that he wanted. He didn't want any of the others. He just got stuck with them. But she had her first child, and that's the one that he adored. That was his child. As far as Jacob was concerned, Joseph was the boy. That's it. Joseph was the boy. But even that child of love, the love child that he had, Joseph, there had a lot of trouble with that, didn't they? And now the second time she gets pregnant, she is so proud that she's pregnant that God has remembered her, and now she's traveling, and before she gets to Bethlehem, she goes into labor. And I can see that caravan right now. There was a lot of people in the caravan. They go out there, and she's probably riding a donkey. And she starts screaming with labor and everything else. They run out there. They grab one of those big old long, elongated tents. And they put the tent up over her so she has shade. And she goes in to birth this child. And her handmaiden realizes that she's dying. And that's where we are. Now she's dying in labor. She's dying. It's too much for her. And this is the one that Jacob loved. And by the way, he didn't have any more children, did he? He wasn't with any other woman. I don't think he had anything to do with the other women at all. He could have, but this was the love of his life right here. He just cut off all his relationships, and that was it. When she died, that was over. I'm sure that was the woman that he stored all of his affection on right here. All of his affection. She had difficulty in her birthing. And she kept on saying to her, the midwife, the one being the midwife is what I actually say, and this midwife, you see, it's feminine singular, PL participle. She is really working, trying to pull this baby. This is really hard. How many of you ever pulled a calf? Or a horse or anything, nothing like that, or goat? Sheep? Yeah, they have a hard time sometimes, don't they? I mean, this woman was in difficulty, and the hand, or what we call the midwife, was really working, trying to save the child's life and save the mother's life. But it didn't happen. The child was born. Do you see how the Hebrew tells it, spells it out to you that you don't normally see? Page 408. The one helping birthing, the delivering one, is what you should actually say there, though. The one helping birthing or the delivering one, not do you fear, because now also to you a son. She's going to have another son. She said, don't fear, you got another son. You got another son. You got... That's it. This is why we come into the world. The promises of God were carried on. This is the 12th son, by the way. The 12th one. 12 sons. And this was the son of promise. This was the son of this is a love child again. Why he? Beset. Na fesha. He. Meta. Watikra. Shimo. Ben. Oni. We. Abu. Kara lo. Benjamin. And became, in going forth, her soul. Her soul left. Her body was too ravaged with pain and misery, and her soul flew away. I did a funeral Friday, day before yesterday, and I was half dead when I did it. And they called me this last week and wanted me to do this funeral. I said, man, I'm sick. They said, we don't want anybody else. We want somebody to do an Indian funeral. And we don't know any other Indians. We want it to be a Christian funeral, we'll go to an Indian funeral. I didn't go into all of it with them. They wouldn't have known what it was anyway. I could have gone in all the way. But the Indians, spiritual leader, he'll walk over the dead body and he'll go like this. Like that. That means the spirit has flown. It's gone. It's not there. Rachel's body was there, but her spirit had flown. And I did tell them that. I read the story in that book. Did you read that story, young lady, yet? Joe, did you read that book?
About her
voice? No, the
about the Indian.
About the Indian book.
Not yet.
Okay.
About her animal.
Oh, not that one. You read that one?
Yes.
Oh, well, that one got you, didn't it?
Yeah.
That one make you cry a little bit. Yeah. I used the story I wrote in there when the owl calls your name. My great-great-great-grandfather and great-great-great-grandmother, they were married. She was 14 years older than he was when they got married. And she had 3 kids after she was 50 years old. That's pretty unusual. That's Ela Tika Moshe Chu was her name. And Tecumseh McClure, her oldest boy by the Reverend McClure, he was raised like an Indian. And later on, Sam Paul and Tecumseh went horn head to head and horns to horns many, many times. Because one was raised like a white man and one was raised like an Indian, and they were brothers. But out in the yard, the night that Ela Tika died, there was an owl hooting up there, just kept on hooting and kept on hooting. And Sam Paul went in the house and got a gun and shot and killed it. Because he knew they was calling his mother's spirit. He was going to kill it. He didn't want his mama to die. But the owl didn't call her name. God had called her name. It was time for her to leave. There aren't very many women in the Bible even named. But this is one that was named. Rachel. And she was Jacob's true love. But he lost her. He got her last, and he lost her first. Do you realize that? He got her last. And he had the last child he had was by her. And he lost her first. Jacob was a man of many sorrows and grief. That's what he told Pharaoh, remember, when he was an old man. He said, I'm a man that's life is full of sorrow. Full of sorrow. Full of sorrows. And going forth her nephesh. It's psyche in the New Testament in Greek, psyche. That's Greek right there. Alright? Psyche. We get our word psychology out of that word. Okay? Like that, something like that. Psyche. Psychology. And going forth restored to her soul. Now, her soul left there, but her body was left. I've been to Rachel's tomb. It's there today. I have a picture of Rachel's tomb. I thought about bringing it tonight, but I didn't know how in the world they're going to show it. To find it and then and get the projector out and everything else would have taken me a long, long time when I was reading this, going over this lesson tonight again to refresh my mind. I realized that I had this, that I could have shown it to you, and it says Rachel in Hebrew on this thing, Rachel's tomb. Rachel's tomb. Well, this is a holy place forever. It's all religions, all the Muslim and the Jews and everybody looked upon this thing as a holy place. And it's what?
Markings of age that they can tell.
Well, early in history, they built a monument where she was. There's Absalom's tomb. There's different tombs over there in Ari, in David's tomb, and all this stuff. But they don't really know where they are, but they think this is the place where Rachel was buried. They know that Mamre is. They know that the cave of Machpelah is where Abraham and Isaac, because their bodies are still there. They're there. Okay? But just think about it now. Here's Jacob. He's going to see his father before he dies. And his wife dies on the way. I wonder so many times why he didn't want to take her and have her buried in the cave of Machpelah. Unless he was so grieved so much that he wanted to go see his father. Maybe he was in a hurry because Isaac was sick or something. I don't know. I don't know why he didn't bury him with her, but in that tomb of Machpelah is Jacob and Leah. Jacob and Leah. So there's the way it is, you know. He's in the tomb.
Yeah, but reading this, I wonder why he buried her and moved on.
Maybe he was in extreme grief. I don't know.
Why he didn't
bring her with him and embalm her and all this kind of stuff, I don't know. I think about that much. He loved her so much. But he left her there, and everybody that goes between those towns, they stop and they pray at Rachel's tomb to this day. All of them. They go and pray. They pray for a safe childbirth there at this tomb. They pray. Of course, you can pray to God any place. You don't need to. Or a holy place, so-called, or altar, anything else. You can pray any place. You don't have to go to the church house and get down at the altar and pray. God will hear you right at home. I had so many people want to. I would be leading them to the Lord, and they said, "I want to go to the church and get down and kneel at the altar to be saved." I even took some of them there, and I said, "Nonsense! It just feel more real if I am." Just feel more real. Well, I'm not going to argue with the Spirit of God. Just get them down there and let them get saved. You know, that's good. Because she had died. And she kept on calling the name Ben-Oni, son of sorrow, son of misery, son of trembling, because she suffered so much in bringing forth this child. And his father, and you can might even put in here, but his father, he had called him Benjamin. Benjamin means what? Benjamin, son of the right hand. Son of the right hand. Son of my power. That was his last child. That was the last child he would have. The last child. Harry, could you go up there to that air conditioner and turn it up just a little bit so it's not quite so cold? I think I see some of you freezing to death. It's nice that it's cooler in here. Instead of like a blazing torch, like it could be. Watamot. Is that better, Chris? Okay. I saw you a little bit cold, but... Rachel. Watik Kavar. Bederek. Ifatah. He. Beth. Lehem. And she kept on being dead, Rachel. She kept on being dead. She didn't come back to life. Sometimes people faint, they go into a coma, and they come back to life, but she kept on being dead. She stayed dead. That's what it literally says there. Rachel. And she was buried. And she was buried. Third person feminine singular, Niphael, while consecutive and perfect. She kept on being buried there. The tomb was left there. They didn't move her. That's where they buried her. In a way, in the way, bedarek. See that word dabar there? That means the way also. That word dabar means a lot of things. It means a fist pulse. It means a line of soldiers. It means a line of monuments. Whatever. In the road, in the way. A road is a ribbon, a long ribbon. Okay? Now, they buried her. Watikavar. Okay? See that word kever there, or kabar? Kever? You can dig a kever, but you can't dig a sheol. I was at that funeral the other day, and there was a guy up there. I was talking about eternal life, and I told him that she has flown away, that she's a child of God, that she knew the Lord, and she is with the Lord now. She's not here. Just her body is here. And he had to walk by there, and this guy says, "The Bible says that the dead know nothing." You know, like this. You know what that means, don't you? That means he believes in soul sleeping. He said, I hope I can hear the Lord when he calls my name. It's better know Jesus, and he'll hear his name. I can guarantee you. He better know Jesus, and I guarantee you, when your heart quits beating in this world, you're in the next world right now. You're in the next world right now. You can dig a quiver. The Jehovah Witnesses say that quiver and sheol are the same word. That's not true. Quiver and sheol are not synonyms. They're not synonymous to each other. Quiver is something you dig or carve into a ground. A sheol is the place of departed spirits. You can't dig that. That's a place, that's paradise or the abode of the damned or whatever. Okay? Buried, cleaver, in the way of Ephrath. It, Bethlehem, near Bethlehem, all right? Bethlehem. Bethlehem means what? What does Bethlehem mean? The house of bread. And where was Bethlehem? Later on, this is where King David's going to be born. The king of Israel that God had planned. When David was born here, in this place, the city of David's birth, this was going to be the king of Israel. But Israel was in a hurry. And they got the wrong man. And that poor man's family suffered, didn't they? All of them got killed. 35 and verse 20. Why Yatsit? Yakol, Masiba, Paul, Kiburata. He, Matsiveth, Kaburot. That's probably Kaburoth. It's kind of got a TH on the end of it. Rachel. Ad Hayom. All right. And he established or caused to stand Jacob a memorial pillar monument. Now this is that place, Chris, that's there to this very day. I wish I had a picture of it. I could have brought it here so you could see it. Bringing the projector is a pain in the neck, and doing all that stuff and finding it through hundreds of slides. A monument, a pillar, a place of memory, of renown. And it is a place of renown. Upon her grave, he had dug her a grave, not a sheol, a grave. All right? It says in the Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave. Death, hell, and the grave. Hell can't hold us because of what Jesus did for us. The grave can't hold us because of what Jesus did. And death can't hold us because of what Jesus did. I absolutely believe that one of these days that I'm going to see Rachel and meet her and talk to her about her experiences. Upon her grave, at a memorial monument or pillar, a grave of Rachel until the day, until this day. Now, how many of you have read in the Bible where it says, unto this day? This is another place. All right, Sharon, what translation? Do you have your Bible? You didn't bring a Bible with you. How about you, Chris? What do you got here?
NIV,
New International Version. Would you want to bring that up here and read that for me, the last few verses, up to, go from 35:12 to 20 for me, would you please? You got to get this pretty girl up here yet.
The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac I also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you. Then God went up from him at the place where he had talked with him. Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. Jacob named the place where God had talked with him Bethel. Then they moved on from Bethel while they were still some distance from Ephrath. Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. And as soon as she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, "Don't be afraid, for you have another son." As she breathed her last, for she was dying, she named her son Ben-Oni, but his father named him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar, and to this day that pillar marks Rachel's tomb. Did you want...
No, that's all right. That's it. Thank you very much. Until this day. Is it this day or that day? That day. That day. The writing of this book. When Moses wrote this book, the tomb was still there. Who wrote the book of Genesis? Moses wrote the book. How many years afterwards did Moses write the book? Now, I want you to understand everything about this book of Genesis here. This book was written many hundreds of years, and sometimes thousands of years after it happened. Hundreds and sometimes thousands of years after it happened. How did Moses know all of this? How did he know about the 6 days of creation? How did he know about God creating the heavens and the earth and the eternal eternity passed and getting destroyed and all this and then all the reconstruction of it? How did Moses know all of that? How did he know exactly when the Eve said to God without the serpent, we nahashishi ani, the devil gave to me and I ate? How did he know to do that? Because God inspired him. He showed him exactly what happened. He describes that garden. He sees all of it. Moses was a very special man. He wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. We're in that first book right now. In that first book. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed tonight's class. It went by pretty fast for me. And I appreciate your prayers. I am here because of your prayers. Yes. When did you write it? After they got out of Israel, I mean out of Egypt, during the period of time when they left, they had the commandments and all of that, and during that period of time, is when he wrote the 5 books. Now, a lot of people say that the last part of this Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the last part of Deuteronomy, it says that somebody else wrote it. Somebody else wrote it because it talks about Moses being a more humble man and that God buried Moses. Well, Moses couldn't have written that. I believe he did. I believe God told him exactly what was going to happen to him. I believe that he wrote it. I believe that he wrote it before it happened. And it was so sound and so... I think that Moses knew exactly when he was going to die, exactly how it was, and he wrote it in the book before it happened. There's nothing wrong with God doing that. That's nothing wrong with that revelation like that. A lot of people have trouble with that. I don't have any trouble with it at all. All right. Well, God bless you. God bless you as you study God's Word. Go out and do something eternal. Brother Harry, would you come up here tonight and dismiss us in prayer, brother? Would you mind that? We're getting all these out. This last week we did probably at least 100 new classes on discovertheword.com. At least 100 more classes on older classes of Greek reading and research. 1 Thessalonians, 1 John, 1 and 2 Peter, James, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, if you look in there, if you want to study that stuff, there's just hundreds of classes up there. I took 50, more than 50 to Randall yesterday to put up, so they're rolling along. Brother Harry, go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Father, just thanking you, Father, for this class tonight, and thank you, Father, for giving Jim another day, Father, to be here to teach your word, Father God. And Father God, we just want to lift up Jim to you tonight, Father, and just pray, Father, that you will meet all his medical needs, Father God, and that we know, Father, that even in this year of the 2012, Father, you're still performing miracles, Father God. And we just pray, Father, that this day that there's a miracle with Jim's name on it, Father God. And we just pray, Father, that you will just heal his body, Father, for we know, Father, that nothing is impossible for you, and you are the master healer, Father God. And Father, we pray for his wife and his daughter, Father God, that they will have a good report, Father, for their results from their tests, Father God, and that they're, you know, they won't find anything wrong, Father God. And we pray, Father, that you just be with us throughout the week, Father God, and that you will bring us back here safely, Father God. And these and other blessings we ask in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Harry, love you. Thank you. Appreciate you, brother.
Yeah. I was at a funeral yesterday.
Oh, you were too, huh?
Yeah.
I did that one Friday. I thought they were going to bury me. I was so bad. Yeah. But you know what? The Lord brought me through it.
Yeah.
I stand up here and preach when I'm so sick I can't stand up.
Yeah.
You know? It just...
The Lord brings me through it.